Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. And I'm very excited on tonight that you've decided to tune in, whether you dialed in or logged in. I'm happy that you are here. I'm happy that I'm here too. Amen. Praise God. Because God could have done a different way, but he did it this way. And so I'm excited that you are here. So this is your first time tuning in. Welcome. Our goal is to encourage to educate and to empower. We always have an encouraging word because we're talking about God, and God is always encouraging. Amen. Whether you know it or not, amen. He is everything, and so we have to be encouraged when we talk about him. We are also not necessarily claiming to saying that we know everything, but our goal is to educate on topics that God lays on our heart to share. And so it may not be a brand new topic, but it's definitely one that God lays on my heart. It seems like sometimes, a lot of times, brother, when I'm talking to other people and listening to other people, we're all pretty much in the same vein. And so I believe that when you're in tune to the things of God, then that's the vein that he wants us all in, it because it's something he wants us to learn. And so praise God, I pray that you will learn something, that you will take it to heart and make the necessary changes and then be empowered to make those changes and then be empowered to share it with someone else. So our goal is to encourage, to educate, and to empower. Now, praise God, for those of you that have been with me for, can you believe it's been 11 years we've been in the same vein, I'm very grateful that you have kept me encouraged. You've kept me wanting to keep educating myself. And then more importantly, you empower me to do what God has called me to do, and that is to teach. And so I'm so grateful for your prayers, for your comments, for your calls, for your emails and texts. And then, you know, sometimes some of y'all, and you know who you are, kind of kick me in the butt. Amen. Keep me on this straight and narrow path to be able to do what God called me to do. And so I thank you for that. And so it's so many of you, I can't call you all by name, but you know who you are because I try to tell you as often as I can that I'm grateful that you encourage me. This is not an easy task, amen, but nevertheless, we've been doing it for 11 years, and most of you have been with me, whether it's been 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, however many years, amen, you've been with me, or months, or weeks, or days, for that matter. I'm grateful. Now, like I said, I can't name everybody by name, but I do call Jesse and Tammy Store by name because without them, I wouldn't have known that this was a platform for me. And over 11 years ago, they told me that God blessed them, and so they were going to bless others. And so they have done that, and they continue to bless me, encourage me, pray for me, lift me up, and keep me motivated to do what God has called me to do. So I will always call them by name in the Omega Ministry Group because they pray for me daily. So I'm grateful that they do that and that they keep me uplifted. And so I will always call them by name. Nevertheless, one name that we all know, that's my father, that's your father, whether you know it or not, he's all of our fathers. And so we always start with an upbeat song to get us in the mood. I thank you for tuning in, and then we go to God in prayer before we start our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you for waking us up this morning and giving us your precious gift of life, because you didn't have to do it, but we're thankful that you did. We thank you, Father, for the use of our limbs and being in our right minds, and most importantly, for letting us to know you and to have an intimate relationship with you. We thank you for the resources that you gave us, your word, the Holy Spirit. And most important, we thank you for the blood of Jesus, because without the blood, amen, difficult for us to stand against all the elements that are thrown at us on a daily basis. But because we have the blood, because we have the authority, because we have the power, we can stand against all the obstacles that the enemy tries to throw. Because we know we are King's kids, and because we are King's kids, we can stand and we can use our shield and sword to make sure that we have every part of the armor that is necessary to do what is necessary to stand and to pray and to be watchful and to do what is necessary. So for that, Father, we say thank you. We thank you that there'll be no distractions for this teaching that will go on tonight. So whether they're listening tonight or listening to a pre-recording, 2 weeks, 2 months, or 2 years from now, it will have the same rhema word. I thank you, Father, that you will use my vocal cords, my heart, my mind, and my motivation to share your word and to share the gospel as true as to what you would have me to do. Pull whatever you need from me, Father, to make sure that the word goes forth and that you'll get all the glory, you'll get all the honor, and you'll get all the praise. Father, we love you, we honor, we adore you. And if there's anything that will hinder this prayer, we thank you, Father, that we have the power of forgiveness, that all we got to do is just ask, and it will be done. And so, Father, we thank you that you are the vine and that we're just branches. But, Father, we thank you that because we are branches and we're connected to you, we will bear fruit that will remain. Because without you, we will do absolutely, positively nothing. So I thank you, Father, again, for this time pray for all those that are listening now and in the future. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. And I'm very excited on tonight to be able to share something that a good, I call her my mentor. She's my silent mentor because I don't talk to her as often as I probably could. But nevertheless, on a weekly basis, sometimes daily, she sends me encouraging words and she sends me different motivational topics or little scriptures here and there, all words of encouragement to just keep me motivated along the way. And while I was dealing with cancer and trying to keep myself encouraged and motivated, she was doing them often, and she was very consistent. And so I was grateful because whenever I was feeling a certain kind of way, I could look at my phone and be encouraged. And so the last couple of days, she's been extremely busy, and I know she does this ministry for several people. But one thing she sent me that was really important, and I believe it's in the vein for where we're going, because last week we talked about just start. You got to start. You can't start unless you start. And so you got to start somewhere. And so I believe we're still in the same vein because the little, I don't know what you call it, but a caption she gave me, it was from Mother Teresa, and it said, do it anyway. And so I thought if we had to give this topic a title, it would be do it anyway. And how sometimes we can get so caught up in daily life that we forget that it's important for us to do these few little things that was listed on this little flyer that was written by Mother Teresa. And so I'm going to read all of it, and then I'm going to give you the scriptures that God gave me and gave me the insight to share with you all. But it says, do it anyway. Forgive them anyway. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Be kind anyway. If you are kind, people will accuse you of being selfish or have ulterior motives, but be kind anyway. The next thing was to succeed anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Amen. You would think that would be the opposite, but nevertheless, those of us that know, amen. It says, be honest and sincere anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people will deceive you. So be honest and sincere anyway. If you spend years creating, others could destroy you overnight, but create anyway. And then be happy. You know, that was mine. Be happy anyway. If you find sincere and happiness, some may be jealous, but be happy anyway. Amen. And then it says, the good you do today will often be forgotten, but be good anyway. Amen. And then here's another favorite. It says, give the best you have. It will always be enough. But some, it will be never enough, but give your best anyway. And then last but not least, it says, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Amen. And so I love this. It says, forgive them anyway, be kind anyway, succeed anyway, be honest and sincere anyway, create anyway, be happy anyway, do good anyway, give your best anyway. It was never between you and them anyway. And this was written by Mother Teresa. But I believe what God wants us to do in today's time is to make sure that we understand that sometimes we go through certain things in life and we just don't understand. And many times it's not meant for us to understand. So we have to do it anyway. Amen. When I was going through and didn't understand why all those things happened to me so quickly, and I didn't get it because, praise God, I've been blind before. Amen. Lost my vision. And God restored my vision. And so I thought, again, that was enough. But nevertheless, he saw fit that he would use me as a vessel to be able to be delivered and healed from cancer and strokes and heart attacks and COVID, nevertheless. But going through, I didn't understand. But I had to pray anyway. I had to praise anyway. I had to move forward anyway when there was no way, according to the doctors. I had to press through anyway. And so, praise God, I did, because had I not, amen, there probably wouldn't have been it anyway. But nevertheless, he is the way. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so, and then even the light, too, for that matter. We have to make sure that we believe and we trust him. And so sometimes it is deceiving when the world is telling us to take a pass and to sit out. You don't have to do this. It don't require all that. Yes, we have to do it anyways. And I want to start by, and I like that you put forgive them anyway first, because I think sometimes we forget that the word says that we are to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven us. That's Ephesians 4:32. Sometimes I think we forget that we're supposed to forgive. It's easy for us to harbor and to hold on to things that people do to us. And why is that? Why can't we remember when somebody stepped on our foot or when somebody crossed us in certain ways, but what we can't remember when somebody was nice and kind to us or said an encouraging word, but we can remember when they dug us out. Why is it that we remember those things more so than the good things that sometimes people do for us? It's because the system is designed for us to hold and to harbor and to hate. But God said that's not the way. We are to forgive. And Mark 11:25, it says, and whatever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyway, so that your Father will also, who is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. And I like another scripture. It says that even at the altar, we have to put our gifts down and go and forgive. I've shared this story before, but I remember years ago, me and my daughter was, you know, having a wait before we were getting to church, and it was Communion Sunday. And I bent down to get my cup and my bread, and I thought, ooh, because, you know, if you do it correctly, the minister is supposed to make sure that your heart is clean. You're there with clean hands and pure heart. Amen. Nevertheless. But my hands wasn't clean, and my heart wasn't clean. I had to put those elements down. I went to the nursery, or not the nursery, but the children's ministry, and I had to apologize because I didn't want to do that and cause harm to myself because I did that, and I knew I wasn't clean. Now, am I telling people they can't do communion? Amen. That's between you and the Lord. And I know he stopped me at that moment. And he said, you need to have that heart out of your heart before you come before me and take part of something that's sacred. Do right. Go apologize. And so, praise God, she was in a way, too, because she didn't want to take the elements either because she knew, praise God, she had proper training. But nevertheless, we knew that you make sure that you're clean. Now, granted, we can ask for forgiveness wherever we are, but if you know and God is leading you in all of this, I want to make sure I give the warning that you be led by God before you start calling up people and amen, asking for forgiveness, because it can make the situation worse. But nevertheless, when God calls you and he lays on your heart and he lays the person on your heart and he gives you the platform to call, it is necessary that you ask for forgiveness. And sometimes you have to be the bigger person, and sometimes they may never apologize. But it's your responsibility because you're doing it for you and for the Lord. You're not doing it necessarily for the other person. You're doing it for you. I met a lady once that she was sexually abused as a child, and she said she could never forgive. It was a family member. She could never forgive them. And I said, yeah, you really can. And she said, no, I really can't. And I said, yes, you really can. You have to. You have to forgive. You have to forgive. You don't have to forget. Because, you know, sometimes people say forgive and forget. No, you don't have to forget. But you do have to forgive. Now, you have to make sure that you lay it down because you don't want to harbor, because you remember, and keep bringing it up because that means you haven't forgiven. You can remember and not bring it up. And it's almost like my mentor once told me years ago that it's like a scar. When you have scars on your arms or your hands or anywhere on your body for that matter, and how when that wound is open, you see it. And sometimes it hurts to touch, but it's there. And then eventually, because of the way God designed our bodies to heal, eventually it will start to heal, and you'll see the scab. And so sometimes that scab takes a while to heal because most times it heals on the surface, but it takes time to heal underneath. And once it heals underneath, eventually the pain will leave. And then once that pain starts to leave, eventually that scar will fade. And once that scar fades, depending on how deep the scar is, it may leave some remnants, but it doesn't hurt anymore. But you still see it, amen. And then eventually when it gets to a point where you can look at it and forget it's even there, amen, then you know you've been completely healed from that. The scar that I had on my eye when I had several surgeries over my eye, it was bumpy and it was ragged and it was, so I could tell every time that I looked in the mirror that I had had eye surgery. But God blessed me to find a surgeon that he was going to do some repairs. And in the midst of him doing the repairs, he took away that scar tissue. And by him taking away that scar tissue, I can't even see the scar anymore. And so during the time, I had to tape my eye down. And every time I would tear the Band-Aid off, I'd tear pieces of the skin off. It was a horrible, horrible, horrible time because I couldn't find ways to close my eye because the muscles and the nerves were cut improperly. And so I couldn't blink my eye on my own. And so, you know, it was just, it was unbearable, just the pain and the challenges that I went through trying to make sure I kept my eye closed. And so I had plastic wrap around my hair and my eyes. And then because my hair would sweat, it would get in my eye and then it would get it. I mean, it was horrible. But praise God, I don't think about that anymore. At the time, it was crazy. And I could see the scar and I could see the challenges. And I was angry at the doctors that, you know, just butchered me. But now I can't even tell. I don't even remember the doctor's names anymore because I have forgiven them and I have moved on. And so sometimes we can be hurt, I mean, hurt to our core, but you got to move on. You got to forgive and you got to move on. And I like when it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If he can do that for us, saints, we got to do it for others. Got to forgive anyways. It can be daunting, I'm sure, but you got to forgive. You have to forgive. We have to forgive because he forgave us. Amen. It says to be kind anyway. If you are kind and people accuse you of being selfish and have ulterior motives, amen, you have to be kind anyway. I love that 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 says, love is patient, love is kind. It doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it's not dishonor, and it doesn't dishonor, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. I'm going to say that again. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always preserves. I think sometimes I think we need to read the scripture a little bit more often because I think sometimes we forget that when we love something, we have to be patient. Yeah, there are going to be challenges. There's going to be things that are going to be said. There's going to be things that are going to be done that may not necessarily be everything that we want it to be. But we have to be kind, and we can't hold record. She did this, so I'm going to do that, and he did this, so I'm going to do that. We can't be self-seeking, and we can't be easily angered. See, sometimes, you know, people just, they just make mistakes. They make mistakes, and we got to make sure that we give them room to grow. Because sometimes, amen, truth be told, we make mistakes. We make the same mistakes. And we want somebody to forgive us. We want somebody to be patient or to be kind with us. We got to be able to reciprocate that. We got to be able to do it because God has done it for us. Can you imagine every time we did something wrong that we felt the wrath of God every single time we did something wrong, that he would keep record? I love that he says we can ask for forgiveness, and he puts it in the sea of forgiveness. He doesn't even keep record. Now, of course, he's keeping, you know, some record, but nevertheless, he's not keeping like this. You lied 17,059,100,000 times. No. When you ask for forgiveness, he moves on. But why is it difficult that we can't? We can't move on. I'm going to hold this because, thanks, we got to do better. And we can do better because we got to remember that when we say we love somebody, we got to make sure that we remember, we protect, we trust, we hope, we preserve. Now, it's funny how we often make that saying, how I could be mad at my sister, but now you can't be mad. And if you're going to roll up on my sister, we all going to roll up. Amen. We can do that. But then I can hold a grudge against her. But that don't sound right. Thanks. We got to do better. And then the coolest thing is if we're forgiving and we're asking God to help us to forgive, God will give us a window to work that out. But it won't happen if we can't be kind. Now, I think I do need to make sure that I give a precursor. Just because you forgive somebody don't mean you got to be in their face. Amen. You can forgive and move on. Because praise God, the Bible also says that we can, you know, wipe our feet off, you know, use that dust map. I mean, that mat for a reason. Brush your feet off and keep it moving. Don't throw your pearls as swine. Why? Because once you've forgiven it and you let it go, amen, you move on. Because sometimes people will hold you to those things, and it's just not safe and healthy for you to be in those kind of environments. And God will deliver you from that, but you still have to be kind. You still have to be patient, and you can't hold anything against these people. Amen. You have to forgive. And in Ephesians 4:32, going back, be kind and compassionate, forgiving. As Christ has forgave us, we have to be kind. We have to forgive. Amen. The next one, we have to succeed. I'm going to save that one for a moment. But I'm going to go to be honest and sincere anyway. If you're honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Amen. I can give a whole lot about that. But nevertheless, we don't have much time. But nevertheless, I love that the Bible says, about honesty. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are in his delight. And then Proverbs 11:3 says, integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. Now, one of the coolest things that I think I love about being honest and being authentic is that sometimes people take you for granted. And so, you know, I've told my story about, you know, how I've gone from a pastor to a pimp back to a pastor, but nevertheless, I didn't know because I really believe the word. And I really believe the word when it says turn the other cheek. And I turned my cheek so many times that I ain't have cheeks, the top or the bottom ones. And so I didn't grasp it because I didn't understand how if I could be honest and sincere, why I kept being deceived and being on the wrong end of things and why I kept being misunderstood. And then, of course, you know, I was reading my word, but somehow I missed that people can be deceitful and can be dishonest because the enemy will use anybody. And most time he uses the people that are the closest to you. And so if that is the case, then why was I so taken by that? And I had to recognize many times I was in my own will and in my own way. And the Bible says not to be led by your own way, that you have to allow him to lead and guide. And so my understanding was that, you know, I was supposed to keep turning my cheeks. And when the ones on my face was hurting, I had to turn around, amen, and let them beat me up on the backside. But God didn't tell me to do that. He told me to dust my feet and keep it moving. But I took those beatings. I took that abuse because I was trying to be good. And there was a problem. Now, of course, always, always, always be led by the Holy Spirit. But I think sometimes we forget that there is a line, because even Jesus drew the line. And that's why it's so interesting. My sister sent a post about why sometimes we get in trouble, because we talk too much. We tell our stories. We tell the things that God has laid on our hearts that he only gave to us. And then we're so excited that we just go and tell everybody. And so, of course, you know, amen, everybody don't want everything to be for you. And so sometimes, you know, they don't respond the way you think they should because you received that from God. They didn't. You did. And so sometimes that conversation is supposed to be for you and God. And then eventually they'll see, because remember the word also says that God is to do the elevating. If we're looking for man, and that's part of the success scriptures, but if we're looking for man to reward us, then amen, God will allow that. I remember years ago, Creflo Dollar gave a message, and he talked about if you look for the praise of man, God will let you have it, and that'll be all you get. Or do you want the praise from God? That lasts forever. And that stuck with me, and I thought, oh, amen. At that moment, because, you know, I love me a little praise, because, you know, I was homecoming queen, high school and college, and I was a cheerleader and all. So I liked praise. Amen. And so sometimes the attention was more important than some of the things that I was doing, because I was missing something. And so when God fulfilled that for me and let me realize, who are you doing this for, baby? You're not doing this for me. You're doing this for you. So if you want that, I'll let you have that. But that's all you're going to get. And then from that moment on, it didn't move me anymore whether people knew what I was doing or what I wasn't doing. It didn't matter to me that people knew if I blessed certain people or did. I wanted God's praise. I didn't care about the praise of men. Still feel good, but I don't look for that no more. And so I'm glad that God delivered me from that, because I don't have to be first. I don't have to be last. I don't have to be in the middle. I'm wherever God wants me to be. And so even now, you know, I'm seeking God for a few things. And a girlfriend told me, you know, Leah, you deserve the best. And I do, because I'm a king's kid. Not because I want to, you know, for everybody to see. No, I deserve to have nice things. And so, praise God, I have to make sure that I do that under the understanding that I want to be honest and I want to be sincere to the things of God. I don't want to be seen by men. And so we got to make sure that we understand that Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, or wherefore, I'm going to put away some stuff. I got to put away lying. I got to put away speaking every truth to my neighbors, that, you know, about other people. We can get so caught up. It's the truth, as Joyce Meyer would say. You know, did you hear about such and such and such and such? You got to catch yourself, because before you know it, you'll be gossiping. Amen. And so, therefore, put away falsehood and let each of us speak the truth to his neighbors, because we are members of one another. So sometimes I think we forget that we are the body of Christ. We are to build each other up. And yes, it may be the truth, but is it necessary for us to tell everything? Sometimes I think we get caught up because we want to be the ones that say that we knew or we heard it first. It's not that deep and it's not that serious. We have to be honest and sincere to the things of God, because we want to make sure that we're doing things unto God and not unto ourselves. Amen. The next thing she said, forgive them anyway, be kind anyway, succeed. We'll talk about that in a minute. Be honest and sincere anyway. Create anyway. Now, you know I love me some create, amen, because I like being creative. I like that the word says in Proverbs 16:4 that the Lord has made everything for its purpose. And so he even created us. So he created me for a purpose. He created you for a purpose. And because he created us, he filled us with skills to do all kinds of work. And then I like how this scripture in Exodus 35:35, it specifies, it says engravers, designers, embroiderers. And then it gave the colors, blues and purples and scarlet yarns for fine linen and weaving. All of them had skills and they were workers and designers. I think sometimes we forget that the gifts and the talents that we had are from God. I think sometimes we think because my mama could sing, that's why I sing. Or my mama could sew, so I can sew. Or whatever the situation may be, these are giftings from God. Because not all of our family members have the same gifts. So if that were the case, then amen. Now, there are some families that everybody can sing, amen. But everybody is not pop chart toppers. And I mean, saints, we got to remember our gifts and our skills come from God. And so they come from God so that we can create environments, so that we can be in those environments to share the gospel. Then we forget that part. We have been created to share the goodness of God. And so because we're given gifts and talents and all these wonderful things, they are to put us in an environment so that we can share the gospel. I believe and I know for certain God has called me to be a teacher. And so because he's called me to be a teacher, he has provided me to be in different areas. I don't teach only in the church. I teach in several capacities. And because I teach in those capacities, whether I talk about God or not, they can see the light in me. Why? Because I try to be honest. I try to operate in integrity. And so I'm able to share the gospel. And that's for you too. Whether you're a trash man, whether you're a secretary, whether you're the cleaning lady, whether you're an executive, whatever it is that God has called you to be in your environment, he has placed you there so that you can be a witness for him. And so it is important that we understand that our creativity, whether it's one gift, two gifts, five gifts, we got to use them. We don't want to be like the talents where we're hiding them because, Lord, I'm going to say this till you come back. No. We are to use those gifts so that we can multiply other believers to give God glory and give God the praise. And so we can't hide our creativity. We have to use it. And so using them goes to what she said about being happy anyways. You know that one I love. Be happy anyway. Find the serenity and happiness in everything, even though it may make some people jealous. But nevertheless, I love, love, love Proverbs 3:13. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that gives understanding. That used to be my scripture, y'all. Proverbs 3:13. And I remember I used to put that on my checkbook. And so I remember I bounced the check. Amen. And the man called me and he said, you have on your check, happy is a man that findeth wisdom. You must ain't got it yet because you bounced the check. And so I told him, but I have understanding because I know I can replace it and get you the money that you need. And so we both kind of laughed. But that was, again, amen, wisdom, because it was like, okay, Lord, I can't have that scripture on there bouncing check, so I got to make sure I balance my checkbook. But nevertheless, happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and wisdom is the principal thing, saints. Go to James, and James will explain all the goodness about wisdom and why it's important for us to have the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man, the wisdom of God. And when we have the wisdom of God, then we'll have understanding. And I like that it also says in the early part of Proverbs 3, and all you're getting, get understanding. It is important that we understand the things of God. We can be happy, we can have joy, we can do so many things when we understand the things of God. I like that Psalms 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, and you will dwell in the land, and you will barely be fed. And so that goes with do good anyway. But amen, when you're doing good, you are happy. Amen. You're happy because it says in Job 5:17, it says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou chastening of the Almighty. I remember, it's been several months now, I was able to teach a Bible study, a Wednesday noonday Bible study, and I talked about how it was a blessing to be chastised by the Lord. And so several of the members were like, how is this a blessing? And I said, because God only chastised those he loves. And so it is a blessing for him to chastise because that means he wants us to do better. He knows we can do better. He wants us to do better. And so it's almost like a parent. You don't correct your children because you don't care about them. You correct them because you do. You love them and you want them to be right. And so we have to make sure that we are grateful. Yeah, not necessarily happy, but because I don't know when that conviction is on me. Amen. Mm-hmm. I want it off. I'm like, Lord, okay, I'll do it right. And then, you know, sometimes because God has jokes for me, he'll have somebody call me and tell me, Leah, now you know you was out of order for that. And it's like, okay, so I got to get it from you too. And he's like, yep, God told me to tell you that, you know, he's done quite a bit for you. Don't be tripping because, you know, he's done a lot for you. And he has a lot that's going on that he's going to use you for, and you can't jeopardize that being stupid, but amen. But I had to get it together because it wasn't that I wanted to be a pimp. And so I want to make sure I clarify that for those of you that may be listening don't understand what I'll be talking about when I say that. As I was saying, you know, earlier that, you know, being kind and forgiving, I didn't quite understand because, like I said, I kept turning the other cheek and it just wasn't working. And so I thought I need to be rough. I need to be tough. And I thought I could take on this persona to help me get tough. I mean, I didn't want to, you know, wear suits and, you know, do all the stuff that, you know, what we have the mindset to do. But I wanted to be tough. And so I thought that I could be tough using that word. And then God revealed to me that I was already tough and that I was already doing what he called me to do, because at the end of the day, those people in the midst of me believing that they were being mean and nasty to me are still the same very people that call me for prayer, are still the same very people that look to me to be the light in the dark room. And so I had to be reminded that I can't become the dark when I'm the light. And so I was like, okay, well, Lord, help me. And so when I say pimp now, it's preaching in my purpose. And so I use it as an acronym. But nevertheless, I have to be mindful when I use the term because it can be misleading. And I never want it to be misleading because I know my purpose. And I'm grateful that I can trust in the Lord and do good. And because I do that, I know that he is blessing me. And so I can be happy when he chastises me and corrects me because I know he loves me, because that's part of wisdom. And so I'm good. Amen. I do good anyways. I'm happy anyways. I create anyway. I'm honest and sincere anyways. I try to be kind anyway. And I definitely will forgive anybody anyways because he's done me. For me. And then this one is probably the lesson that I has caused me challenges in the past, but I had to learn through wisdom that I have to give my best anyway. I think sometimes we forget that we do things unto God. And when we do things unto man, then we will kind of back up and take pause because it's, why are you doing that? You know, I wouldn't do that because they ain't going to appreciate it. But I'm not doing things that are the things that I do unto people. I do them unto God. And I like that 1 Timothy, but we'll kind of hang out here because this is going to help give us the confirmation why God wants us to be successful, why God wants us to be not necessarily happy and good, but he wants us to do our best. He wants us to do our best because it says, run your best in the race of faith and win eternal life for yourself. For it is to this life that God has called you. God has called all of us to a specific task, and it can only be accomplished when we give our best in our time, our best effort, our best gifts, our best focus. Everything we do, we have to give our best because we're giving it unto God. And I think we have to remind ourselves that that's what we're doing it for. I remember a lady, and I have to call her name because, amen, she was the one that convicted me completely. It was Sister Roz. And she used to tell me, Leah, you're not doing this because you're just doing something. You're doing this unto God, and God is going to hold you accountable for this. You don't care about, you know, whether they're doing it or not. You're doing it because God gave you this assignment, and you do it. And so she used to say this often, and so we went to a conference together on Juanita Bynum, the threshing floor. That was, whew, Jesus, years ago. And it was at the Georgia World Congress Center. And so, you know, thousands of people, and they opened up the snack bar. And so I thought, oh, wow, I'm going to go get me some nachos. So I went and got nachos, and I came back to the seat. And she said, Sister Leah, you can't eat that in here. This is the sanctuary. And I'm looking around, No, this is a stadium. She said, Leah, what did we come here for? Think about that. How many people did you have to step over to get to your seat with them nachos? What if these people are here because they need to hear a word from God, and now you spilling cheese and you tripping over them and breaking their connection with God? This is a sanctuary. You got to know what you came here for. Did you come here to get nachos? Or did you come here to get a word and a inspiring word from God? And I was reminded, and I was convicted, because I thought, well. So she said, mm-mm. She said, now you have to forgive yourself and forgive those people that you got to go back through and take that outside and eat that, like, treat this like you're in the presence of God. Would you go to the presence of God with nachos on your mouth and in your mouth chewing? And so, you know, I was convicted, but I was angry a little bit because I paid $10 for them nachos. And I had to take them outside, and I thought, oh. And she said, you're going to miss part of the service, what you came here for, because you wanted nachos and you stood in line. You missed whatever it is you came here for. And so sometimes I think we forget when we're pursuing righteousness, when we're pursuing godliness, when we're pursuing faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. How are we going to fight the good fight of faith if we're not willing to do our best, if we're not willing to do what is necessary for us to succeed, if we're not willing to make sure that what we're doing, that we know at the end of the day, this will be represented in our internal life pursuit, one that we have been called for, and that we have a good confession because we're in the presence of not only God, but other witnesses, and in the sight of God who gives us life and gives us everything. Amen. We are to testify and to give a good confession, because we're commanded to do what we do without spot or blame until Jesus comes. And when he comes, amen, in his own time, we'll be blessed. We'll be blessed because we live in an approachable world where nobody can see God, but we know that he's there because we honor him and we serve him. Now, I don't know if y'all know, that was the charge that Timothy gave. I mean, I kind of worded it a little differently, but in so many words, that's what that charge was about. It was to command those who are rich in the presence of God to not be ignorant in the things of this world, but to operate in wisdom and put their hope in the things of God, because through him, we'll have our enjoyment. He has commanded us to do good. And because we do good, we'll be rich in our deeds. And he will generously give to us so that we can be blessed to be a blessing. We can't lay up treasures for ourselves. Amen. We have to do what God has called us to do so we can be blessed to be a blessing to share, so that people will know that God has entrusted us. He's entrusted us so that we can do the things that he's called us to do. He doesn't want us to have bad representations of him because we're claiming to be Christians on one moment, and then the next moment, you know, we cuss like sailors and we're doing all manner of evil and we're doing those things that could cause people to turn away from the things of God. And so, we have to be reminded that Mother Teresa meant these in a good way, but we need to take them to heart. We got to do them anyway, regardless. We got to forgive. We got to be kind. We have to succeed. We have to be honest and sincere. We have to be creative, whatever that means, to be wise, to be teachers, whatever it is. Use that so that we can be happy, amen, and do good and give our best. And then at the end of the day, we have to remember it's never been about the people. It's never been about us and them. It's only about us and God. That's it. We give an account to God, and that's it. And so when we stand before him, we're not going to have the people that we, our road dogs, they're not going to be standing next to us. We have to give an account for ourselves. And we know what God has told us to do. And if you don't know, praise God. His word says, remain in me and my word in you, and you can ask whatever you wish and it will be granted. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. Matter of fact, when he tells you, you're going to be so surprised because he's been lining you up the whole time anyway. He knows because he said he had purpose for us, and that purpose is for us to succeed. Amen. I mean, I could run and shout, amen, just on that alone, and that he's given us every resource that we could possibly need to make sure that we're successful. But we got to make in our minds and make up in our minds to start, because you can't start unless you start. And then you got to do it anyway. Whatever it takes, whatever God has laid on your heart to do, do it anyway. And he'll provide whatever resources you need. He'll provide whatever it is that you need. Just, you got to trust him. You got to trust him. Now, my sister, she's listening. She's always going to say, you didn't say those scriptures. So I'm going to say the scriptures. They won't be completely in order, but they'll be in the order in which I gave them as far as forgiving, kind, honest, create, happy, do good, give your best, and then, of course, being successful, because it's never about them anyway. Amen. So we started out with Ephesians 4:32, be kind. Then Mark 11:25, Ephesians 3:4-32, Mark 11:25, 1 John 1:9, confess our sins. Amen. And then we went to be kind. We talked about 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 about love is patient and love is kind. Love has no envy. Amen. That whole, amen. And then I just repeated Ephesians 4:32 because I said being kind, you have to be compassionate. Amen. And then the next scripture we went to was about being honest and about lying lips. And so that was Proverbs 12:22. And then Proverbs 11:3 talks about how we have to have the integrity to uphold the upright, and God will guide us. But if we're crooked, amen. Amen. You don't want to be crooked, nevertheless. Ephesians 4:25, it says, put away them lying lips. Amen. Speak truth to your neighbor. Therefore, you got to put away all those things that are not like God. And then you got to remember that we are to build up one another. We have to build each other up. Amen. And then create, praise God. Exodus 35:35. He gave us skills and all kinds of skills. And so we got to remember Proverbs 16:4 that the Lord has made everything for his purpose. So he gave us gifts and talents so that it could be done for his purpose. Amen. And then my happy scriptures. I didn't give you my actual happy scripture, but I'm going to give you that at the end. But Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Amen, saints. That you got to hold on to. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Whew. Amen. And you get understanding, get revelation. Amen. And then Job 5:17, it says, behold, happy is the man who God correcteth. Saints, we got to be happy about the chastisement that the Lord gives because it's necessary. And then Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Don't you want God's feeding? Amen. Psalm 37:3. And then we went to doing your best. Amen. That's 1 Timothy 6. And so I did quite a few of those scriptures, but I started at 12. And so it's important that the success and everything, that final charge in my Bible is listed as the final charge, is 1 Timothy 6. I actually started at 11. And so you want to make sure that it says, but you, the man of God, flee from all of this, the pursuit, and pursue righteousness, godliness, holiness, faith, love, endurance, and God, gentleness. And fight the good fight of faith. Amen. When you do that, faith, I promise, you'll be successful. You'll be able to do whatever God has called you to do, and you'll do it in a light that he's called you to do in you. Are you going to have haters? Probably. Because, amen, that lets you know that the enemy is doing his job. And he's going to do his job. You just got to make sure you do yours. Amen. And so you got to be able to stand. And that's why it's important for us to always be in the word, why it's always best for us to be praying, and for us to be in the presence of God. Amen. Without those three resources, amen. And that's why whenever I pray, I try to always thank God for his word, for the Holy Spirit, and for the blood of Jesus, because now I know I'm armored and I'm fit. And so I don't have to turn the other cheek. God's going to do it for me. I'm going to put my shield and my sword up, and however it happens. I don't have to fight anymore. When it says do the good fight of faith, don't mean you duking it out. It just means you're standing. And you're allowing God to be God, but you're doing your part. You're fighting to push. You're fighting to do what is necessary to do what God told you to do so you can succeed, so you can be honest, so you can be happy, so you can be good, so you can do your best, so you can forgive. Amen. You can forgive and you can move forward. Amen. Well, you know I'm never, ever, ever out of talk, but I am out of time. Because I could go on about things, God, because I just love talking about them. But nevertheless, tune in next week. We'll have another inspiring word every Monday night at 9 p.m. However you logged in, however you dialed in, I pray you come back and invite somebody. But nevertheless, I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song, because every praise belongs to him. There was a time this was difficult. Remember I told you about them scars? Amen. They're healing. And so I still have some of her garments that I can smell that reminds me when I need to feel her presence. I need to know that she was listening, that she cared, and that she was happy that I was doing what God called me to do. And so, amen, I can play this song and not be moved like I was moved in grief. I could be moved because I recognize every praise belongs to God. And so, like I said, make sure you tune in again. Next week, we will have another inspiring word. This is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me. Call me a child of God. I'm so excited you tuned in. I pray you've been encouraged, that you've been educated, that you've been empowered to do what God has called you to do it anyway, and to start, because you got to start somewhere. But make sure that you start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Be blessed.
Come on, say every praise. Every praise.